Al-Bashir, your source of Islamic literature presents The Lives of the Prophets, Part 1.
Alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salam ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.
Adam, when he was created, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stroke his back. So all of the descendants of Adam came out from the back of Adam. We don't know in which form they came out, but they all fell down from his back, all of them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put some light between their eyes. Adam said, "Who are they?" Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "These are your descendants." So Adam looked at one of them and he saw some bright shining light between his eyes and he liked it and he liked him. So Adam said, "Who is this?" Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him, "This is one of your descendants who's going to come in the end of time. His name is Dawood." SubhanAllah, Allah is telling Adam, this is a Dawood. It's towards the end of time. Where are we living then? Adam said, "Kam umruh?" What's his age? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, 60 years old. Adam loved him. This is one of his children, one of his descendants. SubhanAllah, all of us are the children of Adam. He views us all as his children, his descendants. Even though there's thousands of years between Adam and Dawood, but he loved him. So he told Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, "Oh Allah, give him 40 years from my life." He said, "Oh Allah, give him 40 years from my life." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told Adam, "Then it would be written down and sealed." In other words, are you sure? Adam said, "Yes." So it was prescribed and sealed. That's it. This happened when Adam was created, very early in time. Adam was supposed to live 1,000 years. That's the time Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told Adam he would live. So now Adam is living in dunya and years are passing by. Then when he was 960 years old, the angel of death came to Adam and told him, "Are you ready to die?" Because the angel of death takes permission from the Anbiya. "Are you ready to die?" Adam said, "I still have 40 years to live. Allah told me that I'm going to live 1,000 years. I still have 40 years to live." The angel of death said, "Didn't you give 40 years of your life to your son Dawood?" Adam denied. This hadith is sahih. Adam denied. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, "فَجَحَدَ آدَمْ فَجَحَدَ الذُّرِّيَّةَ." Adam denied, so the children of Adam, they deny. وَنَسِيَ آدَمْ فَنَسِيَ الذُّرِّيَّةَ. And Adam forgot, and his children forget. وَأَخْطَأَ آدَمْ فَخَطِيَ الذُّرِّيَّةَ. And Adam made mistakes, and his children make mistakes. Adam forgot. See, sometimes we forget. And that is human nature. And it is said that the name Insan comes from Nisyan. Insan in Arabic comes from Nisyan, which is forgetting. It's a human nature. We forget. And when we forget, we reject. Adam denied that he gave 40 years because he forgot. He wasn't lying. We need to understand that. Adam forgot. Adam is a Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the Anbiya of Allah ma'asumun al kadhib. They are, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made them infallible from falling in these sins. So Adam, he forgot that he gave this promise. Adam forgot. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgave him. This was a mistake from Adam. And this is a Nabi of Allah. Always in agreements that we have with each other and things that we say in our daily conversations, this thing happens again and again. I would say something today, you would come to me after a month and you would say, "You promised me so and so." I tell you, "No, I didn't." You accuse me of lying. "I'm not lying, I forgot. I did not lie." We forget, and that happens, and give excuse for your brothers. Rasulullah says, "Find 70 excuses for your brother." No, we don't find any excuses. You're lying. "I'm sure that I told you so." You are a liar, and you brand him as a liar for the rest of his life. Adam, and this is something big. This is something really big. I mean, you promised 40 years of your life. This is a big thing. Adam forgot. It's human nature. You could forget major things. And on small details, if somebody forgets, it's a big problem and a big deal. You know, let's use these stories to learn some akhlaq also, because we are in great need of akhlaq. You don't know al-ghayb. You don't know why the other person, maybe there was a miscommunication, maybe they didn't understand you, they forgot, they made a mistake, they misinterpreted. You can find easily, if you want, 70 excuses or more. If you want to. Adam then submitted to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he gave away his soul. And humans did not learn these. These things are new for them. So the angels descended. And they washed Sayyidina Adam sallallahu alayhi wa sallam witran an odd number of times. And they dug the grave for Adam, the malaika. And they made it in the form of a lahd. And they buried Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam. The angels washed him and the angels buried him. This is our father, Adam alayhi salam. This is the end of his story. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bring us together with our father في مستقر رحمته in Jannah. Sayyidina Sheikh. Sheikh is one of the Anbiya that are not mentioned in the Quran. He's a Nabi that we know of from Sunnah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, أنزلت مئة صحيفة وأربع صحف منها خمسين على Sheikh. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed 104 scrolls. 50 of them on Sheikh. Sayyidina Sheikh received revelation from Allah. And it is mentioned by some of the scholars that he is the son of Adam. And that Adam gave him the responsibility of leading when he was passing away. So Adam gave wasiyah to Sheikh to take care of the affairs of mankind. Sheikh assumed responsibility after his father Adam. That's almost all what we know about Sheikh. Following Sheikh is Sayyidina Idris. Idris, most of the scholars say, is a Nabi that came between Sheikh and Nuh. But there is an opinion of Sayyidina Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu that Idris is the same Nabi as Ilyas. But that's a lonely opinion of Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. The rest say that Idris is between Sayyidina Sheikh and Nuh. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did mention about Idris in Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
وَاذْكُرْ فِي الْكِتَابِ إِدْرِيسِ إِنَّهُ كَانَ صِدِّيقًا نَبِيًّا وَرَفَعْنَاهُ مَكَانًا عَلِيًّا.
And remember in the book Idris, he was a Siddiq, truthful, and he was a Nabi. And we elevated him to a high level. That's the extent of the knowledge, the accurate and sure knowledge that we have about Idris. But we have some stories about him from Al-Israiliyat. And let me tell you what Al-Israiliyat is as a definition that you will remember throughout this series. Israiliyat are the stories of the people of the book. We learned them through some of the Christians and the Jews who became Muslim. Some of the Christians and the Jews who became Muslim and they were scholars before, when they became Muslim, they brought some of these stories with them in Islam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said in the beginning, do not speak about the stories of Bani Israel, al-Israiliyat, these stories that come from the old scripture. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, don't speak about them. But then after that, towards the end of the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, حَدِّثُوا عَنْ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلِ وَلَا حَرَجْ. Speak about Bani Israel. But then he said, لَا تُصَدِّقُوهُمْ وَلَا تُكَذِّبُوهُمْ. Do not believe them and do not disapprove. Do not approve those stories and do not disapprove them. What does this mean? It means we could use them sometimes, but we should not take it as certain knowledge. And in the same time, if it does not contradict anything in Islam, we shouldn't completely reject it. That's why many of the scholars say it is safe to stay away from many of these stories. And that is what I'm going to try to do. And whenever I do mention one of these stories, I'll mention it and mention to you that this is from Al-Israiliyat so that you know. And Ibn Taymiyyah did mention that we could use an Israeliyat as supplementary evidence, but not as primary evidence. You cannot use it as a dalil, as a primary evidence. But we could use it as istinas. You bring it along under an established thing in Islam, an established evidence. You could then use some of these stories. There is a story about the death of Sayyidina Idris from al-Israiliyat. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to Idris and told him that every day your deeds are equivalent to the good deeds of everybody else on the face of the earth. With simple calculation, Sayyidina Idris said, if that is the case, then if I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give me a longer life, I would be able to accumulate more good deeds. So he told one of his friends, an angel who was a friend of his, he told him, why don't we go and speak to the angel of death and see if we can go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and ask him to give me a longer life. So the angel said, okay, ride on my wings. So Sayyidina Idris went on the wings of this angel and the angel carried them up in the samawat. So they passed the first heaven, as-sama' al-ula, and then the second heaven, as-sama' al-thaniya, the third heaven, as-sama' al-thalitha, the fourth heaven, as-sama' al-rabi'a. And when they were going up, the angel of death was coming down. The angel of death said, subhanallah, I just received an order from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to take the soul of Idris in the fourth heaven, and I had no idea how I was going to do it when he's on earth. This angel speaking with the angel of death looked on his back and saw that Idris has already passed away. They use this as an explanation of the ayah where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَرَفَعْنَاهُ مَكَانًا عَلِيًّا. We elevated them to a very high level. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took his soul in the sama' al-rabi'ah, in the fourth heaven, and elevated him to a very high level. Nobody passed away in that level except Sayyidina Idris. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala specifically said in Quran, وَرَفَعْنَاهُ مَكَانًا عَلِيًّا. We have elevated him to a very high level. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the authentic hadith did meet with Sayyidina Idris in the fourth sama', in the fourth heaven, in the Isra' wal-Mi'raj. In the Mi'raj, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam met with Idris in the sama' al-rabi'ah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in al-Bukhari, كان بين آدم ونوح عشرة قرون كلهم على الإسلام. Rasulullah says in al-Bukhari, between Adam and Nuh, there were 10 generations, all of them were Muslim. Qarn in Arabic means either century, 100 years, or generation. If it means 10 centuries, that's a millennium, 1,000 years. If it means 10 generations, it could be more than 1,000, because we know that people used to live longer lives in those times. Between Adam and Nuh, there were many generations, not 10. But 10 of them were Muslim. So out of the many generations between Adam and Nuh, 10 were Muslim. And then disbelief and shirk slowly started to creep in. How did it happen? Ibn Abbas says, and this is the opinion of Ibn Abbas mentioned in al-Bukhari. He says, the descendants of Adam, they started slowly losing their religion and committing sins, but they still believed in Tawheed, the unity of Allah. But they were committing many sins and ignorance was spreading among them. And the righteous men among them were few. Shaitan came to them and told them, when these righteous men pass away, you will have no one to remind you about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and about ibadah. You will have nobody to give you nasiha and advice. So how about when they pass away, you erect some statues in their memorial to remind you about ibadah? Because these righteous men used to remind the people, they used to give them nasiha and advice. When they're going to pass away, who's going to give the people advice? So Shaitan told them, how about when they pass away, you erect some statues so that whenever you would see the statue, you would remember good deeds, and you would remember the righteous men. They followed the advice of Shaitan, thinking it was a good one, and they erected these idols. And then Shaitan left them alone. Shaitan is very, very patient. He left them alone for a while, until they forgot the reason why these idols were built. Generation after generation came, and these statues were there. People forgot why these were built, why these were erected. Shaitan came to them and told them, why don't you worship these statues? And that is how shirk started. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about these five idols. Waddan, Suwa'an, Yaghuth, Ya'uq, and Nasr. Five names of five idols Ibn Abbas says these were righteous men whom the people of Nuh started worshipping their idols, their statues. So this is how shirk started. So Nuh was the first messenger of Allah to the people of the world. And that is mentioned in Hadith al-Shafa'ah, the authentic Hadith of al-Shafa'ah. When the people on the Day of Judgment will go to Nuh, what will they tell them? What will they tell him? أنت أول الرسل إلى أهل الأرض. You are the first messenger of Allah to the people of the world. So Sayyidina Nuh is the first messenger to the people of the earth. And he is one of the five Ulil Azm. Ulil Azm are the greatest five of the Anbiya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nuh is one of them. The other four are Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ibrahim, Musa, and Isa. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ibrahim, Nuh, Musa, and Isa. These five, Ulul Azm min al-Rusul. The greatest of them is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What was the message of Nuh? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَقَدْ أَرْسَلْنَا نُوحًا إِلَىٰ قَوْمِهِ إِنِّي لَكُمْ نَذِيرٌ مُّبِينٌ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا اللَّهِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and indeed we sent Noah to his people. And he said, I have come to you as a plain warner that you worship none but Allah. This is the message that every Nabi has presented to the world. Do not worship anyone but Allah. Tawheed, the unity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the message of every Nabi. And he tells them, أَنِ اعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ وَاتَّقُوهُ وَأَطِيعُونَ. That you should worship Allah, be dutiful to Him, and obey me. So the Nabi told them to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to have taqwa and to obey me.
وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا مِنْ رَسُولٍ إِلَّا لِيُطَاعَ بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ.
Every messenger that we sent him to be obeyed. The Anbiya of Allah don't just come and deliver a message and leave. They deliver the message and they tell the people that they have to obey them. And this is tahkim al-sharia. This is the establishment of the law of Allah. They came to be followed and to be obeyed. What were the methods of the da'wah of Nuh? What methods did he use? How did he perform his da'wah? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
قَالَ رَبِّ إِنِّي دَعَوْتُ قَوْمِي لَيْلًا وَنَهَارًا.
He said, O my Lord, verily, I have called my people night and day. So he used to make da'wah to them in the night and day. And he said,
ثُمَّ إِنِّي دَعَوْتُهُمْ جِهَارًا. ثُمَّ إِنِّي أَعْلَنْتُ لَهُمْ وَأَسْرَرْتُ لَهُمْ إِسْرَارًا.
Then verily, I called to them openly. Then verily, I proclaimed to them in public and I have appealed to them in private. So he used jahr, which is announcing to everyone. And then he used أَعْلَنْتُ لَهُمْ, I would speak to them. And also I would speak to them publicly and privately. So he used da'wah at night, he used da'wah at day, he used public and he used private. He varied his methods. He tried every way possible. So in our da'wah, we should take advantage of every resource that we have. Everything. Take advantage of everything. Telephone, CDs, audio cassettes, internet, speeches, individual da'wah on the individual level. Visitations through your akhlaq, pamphlets, books. Don't think that anything will not work. Use whatever you can. Because Sayyidina Nuh used whatever was possible to him. Any method. Use it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
فَلَمْ يَزِدْهُمْ دُعَائِي إِلَّا فِرَارًا.
But all my calling added nothing but to their flight from the truth. Allahu Akbar. Nuh is making da'wah to them, and the more da'wah he gives them, the further away they become. The further away they go. The more da'wah he makes, the more they fly away from him. The more da'wah he gives them, the worse the situation becomes. Difficult. Very difficult. And not only that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
وَإِنِّي كُلَّمَا دَعَوْتُهُمْ لِتَغْفِرَ لَهُمْ جَعَلُوا أَصَابِعَهُمْ فِي آذَانِهِمْ وَاسْتَغْشَوْا ثِيَابَهُمْ وَأَصَرُّوا وَاسْتَكْبَرُوا اسْتِكْبَارًا.
And verily, every time I called unto them that you might forgive them, they thrust their fingers into their ears, covered themselves up with their garments, and persisted in their refusal and magnified themselves in pride. He would give them da'wah, he would be speaking to them, and they would put their fingers in their ears, or they would cover themselves with their clothes, and they would be arrogant and proud. If you are speaking to someone, and he starts putting his fingers in his ear, and he covers himself up, and he acts arrogantly towards you, will you be able to continue to talk to him? It's very difficult. You would barely be able to do it for half an hour or an hour, and then you would be fed up and you would leave and you would hate him for the rest of your life. Nuh did this for 950 years. Nuh was doing this for 950 years. 950 years he's making da'wah night and day, publicly and privately. And the more da'wah he gives, the worse the situation would become, and the more animosity would become between him and his people. And the people are not listening to start with. He's speaking to closed ears. But he had patience. He had patience for 950 years. Sayyidina Nuh told his people about the value of istighfar.
فَقُلْتُ اسْتَغْفِرُوا رَبَّكُمْ إِنَّهُ كَانَ غَفَّارًا.
I said to them, ask forgiveness from your Lord. Verily, he is oft forgiving. And listen to the benefits of istighfar. Nuh is telling his people the benefits of istighfar. If you make istighfar, this is what will happen. He will send rain to you in abundance.
وَيُمْدِدْكُمْ بِأَمْوَالٍ وَبَنِينَ وَيَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ جَنَّاتٍ وَيَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ أَنْهَارًا.
And give you increase in wealth and children, and bestow on you gardens, and bestow on you rivers. All of these are results of istighfar. Fastaghfirullah. Nastaghfirullah al-azim wa natubu ilayh. And he also turned their attention to the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala around them, because the creation of Allah is a mirror of the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He told them,
أَلَمْ تَرَوْا كَيْفَ خَلَقَ اللَّهُ سَبْعَ سَمَاوَاتٍ طِبَاقًا.
See you not how Allah has created seven heavens one above the other?
وَجَعَلَ الْقَمَرَ فِيهِنَّ نُورًا وَجَعَلَ الشَّمْسَ سِرَاجًا.
And has made the moon a light therein and made the sun a lamp.
وَاللَّهُ أَنْبَتَكُمْ مِنَ الْأَرْضِ نَبَاتًا ثُمَّ يُعِيدُكُمْ فِيهَا وَيُخْرِجُكُمْ إِخْرَاجًا.
And Allah has brought you forth from the dust of the earth. Afterwards, He would return you into the earth and bring you forth again on the day of resurrection.
وَاللَّهُ جَعَلَ لَكُمُ الْأَرْضَ بِسَاطًا لِتَسْلُكُوا مِنْهَا سُبُلًا فِجَاجًا.
And Allah has made for you the earth widespread, that you may go about therein in broad roads. These are some of the ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He turned their attention to. When Nuh was delivering this da'wah, 950 years, only a few became Muslim. And these few tended to be from the weak and the poor. So the leaders, the wealthy and the political leaders, influential men of the society, they came to Nuh and they said,
فَقَالَ الْمَلَأُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا مِنْ قَوْمِهِ مَا نَرَاكَ إِلَّا بَشَرًا مِثْلَنَا وَمَا نَرَاكَ اتَّبَعَكَ إِلَّا الَّذِينَ هُمْ أَرَاذِلُنَا بَادِيَ الرَّأْيِ وَمَا نَرَى لَكُمْ عَلَيْنَا مِنْ فَضْلٍ بَلْ نَظُنُّكُمْ كَاذِبِينَ.
The chiefs of the disbelievers among his people said, "We see you but a man like ourselves, nor do we see any follow you but the meanest among us." And they too followed you without thinking. They told Nuh that we don't see any favor of you upon us. I mean, you're not any better than us. And then they also told him that the people who followed you are the weakest and the meanest among us. And they followed you without thinking. Two things. The people who are following you are the weak and the poor. And the second thing, they followed you without thinking. Let's look at these two things. The followers of Nuh were the weakest and the poorest. When Abu Sufyan was on a business trip to Ar-Rum, he was visiting Asham, which was part of the Roman Empire at the time. Heraqal, the emperor of the Romans, Hercules, he was in Asham at the time. And he heard about Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So he demanded to meet one of his people. When he heard that there's an Arab caravan that's in town, he said, "Go and see if any of them knows about Muhammad." So they went and brought these businessmen from Quraysh to meet with the Roman emperor, Heraqal. So Heraclius asked this group, "Who of you is the closest relative of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam?" So Abu Sufyan said, "I am," and he was the closest relative of him among the group. Heraqal started asking Abu Sufyan a few questions. One of these questions, he said, "Who are the followers of this man?" Abu Sufyan said, "His followers are the slaves and the weak and the poor and the servant." What did Heraqal say? He said, "These are the followers of the Anbiya. These are the followers of the messengers. These were the followers of Isa. These were the followers of Musa. These were the followers of Hud. These were the followers of Salih. The people who follow the Anbiya in the beginning are usually the weak and the poor. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them this blessing." So this point that the people of Nuh are bringing is worthless. The second point is they followed you without thinking. They wanted them to study it. They wanted them to give it a second thought. This thing that they're using as an accusation against Nuh is actually a point of pride for those who believe. Because what did Rasulullah ﷺ praise Abu Bakr for? Rasulullah ﷺ said, "Everyone I presented Islam to hesitated for a moment except Abu Bakr. As soon as I presented the message to him, he accepted. Without giving it a second thought." When you receive truth, you shouldn't give it a second thought. You shouldn't sit on it for a while. When you receive truth, as long as it's the truth, immediately follow it. And that's what these followers of Nuh did. So these chiefs are accusing these followers with something that is actually a point of praise for them, an honor. And you always find that they would accuse us, the Muslims today, with things that are in reality things that we should be proud of. Nuh said, "وَيَا قَوْمِ لَا أَسْأَلُكُمْ عَلَيْهِ مَالًا." And oh my people, I ask of you no wealth for it. It's very important that the da'iyah, the one who is calling to the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, never want compensation, financial, material compensation for what he's doing. It's very important. The work should be done for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. إِنْ أَجْرِيَ إِلَّا عَلَى اللَّهِ. My reward is from none but Allah. And then he told them, "وَمَا أَنَا بِطَارِدِ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا." I am not going to drive away those who have believed. These chiefs, they said, you have to kick out those weak and slaves, otherwise we're not going to listen to you. He said, I'm not going to drive them out. These are the believers. These are the ones whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala honored with Islam. And then he told them,
وَلَا أَقُولُ لَكُمْ عِنْدِي خَزَائِنُ اللَّهِ وَلَا أَعْلَمُ الْغَيْبَ وَلَا أَقُولُ إِنِّي مَلَكٌ.
And I do not say to you that with me are the treasures of Allah. The Anbiya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala do not have to be wealthy for the people to follow them. Notice Nuh is telling them about things which usually people look for in their leaders. People want to see their leaders rich. We usually respect and honor the rich and the wealthy. If somebody is poor, we don't care about him, and we wouldn't follow him or we wouldn't accept having him as a leader. Same thing that happened with Talut. They said, وَلَمْ يُؤْتَ سَعَةً مِنَ الْمَالِ. He's not rich. Nuh is telling them, I don't control the treasures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and I don't have to be rich. And he told them, وَلَا أَعْلَمُ الْغَيْبِ. And I do not know the unseen. We shouldn't expect from the anbiya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that they know al-ghayb. He said, I do not know the unseen, except what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would teach me. And he told them, and I am not an angel. Because always, whenever a Nabi comes, they say, you should be an angel and you should be different. You shouldn't be in human form. So he told them, وَلَا أَقُولُ لَكُمْ إِنِّي مَلَكٌ. And I do not tell you that I am an angel. Nuh is giving da'wah for 950 years, and he did not get tired. He's alone against all of the society. And he did not get tired, and he never gave up. Who gave up? His people. His people gave up. It wasn't Musa, it wasn't Nuh. Nuh persisted even though he was alone. And they were rejecting him. But they are the ones who eventually gave up.
قالوا يا نوح قد جادلتنا فأكثرت جدالنا فأتنا بما تعدنا إن كنت من الصادقين.
They gave up. They said, Oh Nuh, you have disputed with us and much have you prolonged this dispute with us. This has been going for too long. Now bring upon us what you threaten us with if you are truthful. They told Nuh, you have been debating with us and this debate has been prolonged. It's taking too long. Can you please end it and bring the punishment of Allah that you said? Subhanallah. Look at the sabr of the Nabi. He never gave up. And the whole society won against the whole and they lost. One person alone was able to stand against the whole society. And in the end, they are the ones who blinked first. They said, you bring the punishment if you can. قَدْ جَالْدَلْتَنَا فَأَكْثَرْتَ جِدَالَنَا. We're tired. And they threatened him.
قَالُوا لَئِن لَمْ تَنْتَهِ يَا نُوحُ لَتَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْمَرْجُومِينَ.
They said, if you cease not, if you don't stop, O Nuh, you will surely be among those stoned to death. We're going to stone you to death. Now, Nuh started making dua against them. Because they reached a level where they're threatening him to take away his life. They don't want to believe anymore. They want to end it. So Nuh told Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala,
قَالَ نُوحُ رَبِّ إِنَّهُمْ عَصَوْنِي وَاتَّبَعُوا مَنْ لَمْ يَزِدْهُ مَالُهُ وَوَلَدُهُ إِلَّا خَسَارًا.
My Lord, they have disobeyed me and followed one whose wealth and children gave him no increase but loss. They followed the wealthy and they followed the strong families. These are the ones who they followed. They didn't follow me. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said,
وَأُوحِيَ إِلَىٰ نُوحٍ أَنَّهُ لَن يُؤْمِنَ مِن قَوْمِكَ إِلَّا مَن قَدْ آمَنَ.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and it was inspired to Nuh, none of your people will believe except those who have already believed. So be not sad because of what they used to do. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told Nuh, no one else will believe. Nuh now started making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when he saw that we reached to the end. There is no further dialogue between us. The communication is cut.
وَلَقَدْ نَادَانَا نُوحٌ فَلَنِعْمَ الْمُجِيبُونَ.
And indeed Nuh invoked us and we are the best of those who answer. Nuh made a dua and we will answer it. Nuh said,
قَالَ نُوحُ رَبِّ لَا تَذَرْ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ مِنَ الْكَافِرِينَ دَيَّارًا إِنَّكَ إِن تَذَرْهُمْ يُضِلُّوا عِبَادَكَ وَلَا يَلِدُوا إِلَّا فَاجِرًا كَفَّارًا.
Nuh made his dua. After 950 years of patience, he finally made a dua against his people and he said, Oh Allah, leave none of the non-believers on the face of the earth. Destroy them all. Why? It's not because of a personal problem between Nuh and them. No, Nuh said, if you leave them, they will mislead your servants and they will beget none but wicked disbelievers. Nuh said, oh Allah, destroy them. Why? Because if you leave them, they are going to deliver this disbelief to their children and they're going to insist on it. And then they are going to corrupt the believers. So destroy them all. And the dua was received by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructed Nuh to build the ark, the ship. And construct the ship under our eyes and with our inspiration. So Nuh started constructing the ark. وَلَا تُخَاطِبْنِي فِي الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا إِنَّهُمْ مُغْرَقُونَ And address me not on behalf of those who did wrong, they are surely to be drowned. So he started building the ark. وَيَصْنَعُ الْفُلْكِ And as he was constructing the ship, whenever the chiefs of his people would pass by, they would make fun of him. They mocked at him. يَسْخَرُونَ They would make fun of him. Nuh, are you crazy? Did you lose your mind? You're building a ship and there's no sea? Nuh is building an ark on top of this hill. And there's no sea and ocean. And there's no river, there's nothing. And Nuh is building a ship. So they would come next to him because, subhanAllah, the people of dunya can only see what is in front of their eyes. They cannot understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is able to do. Inna Allah ala kulli shayin qadir. They are limited with this narrow vision of the material world. There's no sea, there's no river, there's no ocean, what are you doing? And they would make fun of Nuh. Nuh told them,
قَالَ إِن تَسْخَرُوا مِنَّا فَإِنَّا نَسْخَرُ مِنْكُمْ كَمَا تَسْخَرُونَ
If you mock at us, so do we mock at you likewise for your mocking.
فَسَوْفَ تَعْلَمُونَ مَنْ يَأْتِيهِ عَذَابٌ يُخْزِيهِ وَيَحِلُّ عَلَيْهِ عَذَابٌ مُقِيمٌ
And you will know who it is, on whom will come a torment that will cover him with disgrace, and on whom will fall a lasting torment.
حَتَّى إِذَا جَاءَ أَمْرُنَا
So it was, till then came our command. وَفَارَ التَّنُّور The springs of the earth started gushing with water. And rain started falling from the sky.
قُلْ نَحْمِي فِيهَا مِنْ كُلٍّ زَوْجَيْنِ اثْنَيْنِ وَأَهْلَكَ إِلَّا مَنْ سَبَقَ عَلَيْهِ الْقَوْلُ إِلَّا مَنْ سَبَقَ عَلَيْهِ الْقَوْلُ وَمَنْ آمَنَ وَمَا آمَنَ مَعَهُ إِلَّا قَلِيلٌ
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, So it was, till then there came our command, and the oven gushed forth. We said, embark therein, of each kind too, male and female, and your family, except him against whom the word has already gone forth, and those who believed with you, and only a few have believed with Nuh. When the water started coming out from the earth, and rain falling from the sky, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructed Nuh to go in the ark, and to take with him the believers, and to take with him his family, and to carry a pair, male and female, of every animal. The number of the believers with Nuh goes from 7 till 80. 80 is the maximum number narrated. That's the maximum. But then there's 7, and there's 8, and there's different numbers. Maximum is 80. After 950 years of work, the fruit is 80. Brothers and sisters, we need to, sometimes when we listen to this, reflect. We receive encouragement in our work when we see the fruits of it. When you are studying and you're receiving good grades, that encourages you to study. When you are doing business and your business is flourishing, it encourages you to do business. But when you see that your effort is put in something that is not improving, and the more work you do, the worse the situation becomes. It is very, very difficult, extremely difficult to go on. Nuh, for 950 years, is not seeing anything happening in front of his eyes. Nobody's believing. But because he had trust that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who rewards. He's not waiting for reward in dunya. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who gives the ajr. He kept on and persisted on doing this for 950 years. That is the yaqeen and tawakkul and iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When he went on the ark, what did he say? Bismillah. Whenever we start something, we say Bismillah. وَقَالَ الْكَبُوا فِيهَا بِسْمِ. And he said, embark therein, in the name of Allah. So we start everything in the name of Allah. We start salah in the name of Allah. We start eating in the name of Allah. When we go to bed, in the name of Allah. When we go in our cars, in the name of Allah. We start everything in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Bismillah. Allah is saying that this ark is on these waves. And what description was given to the waves? وَهِيَ تَجْرِي بِهِمْ فِي مَوْجٍ كَالْجِبَالِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, so it, the ship, sailed with them amidst waves like mountains. We're talking here about waves like mountains. What is a mountain? 1,000 feet, 2,000 feet? Imagine waves, 1,000 feet high or 2,000 feet high. Not even the biggest US aircraft carrier can sustain these waves. So it's not the ark, it's not this ship that Nuh built that gave them safety. It is not this ark that saved them from these waves. These are only the asbab. This is the part that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told Nuh to do. Otherwise that ark would be like a matchbox in these waves. It would not be able to survive at all. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants Nuh to do his part. Just build the ark, but it's not the ark that will do you anything. Allah, it is the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the care of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that will take care of you and save you. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told Nuh to build the ark because you have to do your part. You have to do your part. You have to take the first step. إِن مَشَيْتَ إِلَيَّ هَرْوَلْتُ إِلَيْكَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if you walk towards me, I will run towards you. You have to take the first step. وَالَّذِينَ اهْتَدَوْا زَادَهُمُ اللَّهُ هُدَى. The ones who seek guidance, you seek it, you look for it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will guide them. The victory of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes after you do your part, and that is what Nuh is able to do, build an ark. But the rest is on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The waves picked up this ark, and Nuh is seeing his son in front of his eyes. He's telling his son, come and join us.
وَنَادَى نُوحٌ ابْنَهُ وَكَانَ فِي مَعْزِلٍ يَا بُنَيَّ ارْكَمْ مَعَنَا يَا بُنَيَّ ارْكَمْ مَعَنَا وَلَا تَكُمْ مَعَ الْكَافِرِينَ.
Oh my son, embark with us and don't be with the non-believers. His son, thinking in the terms of this material world, said,
قَالَ سَآوِي إِلَى جَبَلٍ يَعْصِمُنِي مِنَ الْمَاءِ.
I will seek refuge in a mountain that will save me from this water. He thought that a mountain will save him. I mean, rain cannot cover mountains. We never saw that in our life. Thinking in terms of the material world, he thought that this mountain will save him. His father told him,
قَالَ لَا عَاصِمَ الْيَوْمَ مِنْ أَمْرِ اللَّهِ إِلَّا مَنْ رَحِمْ.
There's nothing that can save you on this day except the mercy of Allah. He refused. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَحَالَ بَيْنَهُمَ الْمَوْجِ فَكَانَ مِنَ الْمُغْرَقِينَ. Waves separated between them and he drowned. Imagine standing and you see your son in front of your eyes and the waves are separating between you and him slowly. And in front of your eyes you know that that's the end of your son. It's the end of it. What a difficult situation. Subhanallah al-Azim.
وَقِيلَ يَا أَرْضُ ابْلَعِي مَاءَكِ وَيَا سَمَاءُ أَقْلِعِي.
Rain stopped from the sky and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructed, commanded the earth to swallow all of the water. وَاسْتَوَتْ عَلَى الْجُودِي. So this ark landed on the mountain called Al-Judi, Judi Mountain. It is said that it's in present-day Kurdistan. That's where they say the mountain is. That's where it landed. And when everything settled, Nuh wanted to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala about something. Nuh said,
وَنَادَى نُوحٌ رَبَّهُ فَقَالَ رَبِّ إِنَّ بِنِي مِنْ أَهْلِي وَإِنَّ وَعْدَكَ الْحَقُّ وَأَنْتَ أَحْكَمُ الْحَاكِمِينَ.
And Nuh called upon his Lord and said, Oh my Lord, verily my son is of my family and certainly your promise is true and you are the most just of the judges. Allah has promised Nuh that you will be saved with your family. So Nuh is asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and saying, "Oh Allah, didn't you tell me that all of my family will be saved? And my son is from my family. And your promise is true." Nuh is saying that I don't have any doubts in your promise. This is not doubt. He just wants to know, understand. إِنَّ وَعَدَكَ الْحَقُّ وَأَنْ تَحْكَمُ الْحَاكِمِينَ. Your promise is true. And you are the most wise and the just of the judges. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught Nuh a lesson. We use words to mean some things. But Islam comes and gives them a new definition. Salah, for example, had the definition of supplication before Islam, but then Islam gave it ma'na istilahi. It gave it the meaning of the salah. The meaning of happiness, for example. We think of happiness in a certain way, but Islam defined happiness in a different way. Family has a definition among us. What is it? Your blood relatives. The blood relation, that's what we call family. And Nuh is considering his son to be part of his family because he's his blood son. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is now going to teach Nuh the true meaning of family. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling Nuh,
قَالَ يَا نُوحُ إِنَّهُ لَيْسَ مِنْ أَهْلِكَ إِنَّهُ عَمَلٌ غَيْرُ صَالِحٍ فَلَا تَسْأَلْنِ مَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٍ فَلَا تَسْأَلْنِ مَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٌ إِنِّي أَعِظُكَ أَنْ تَكُونَ مِنَ الْجَاهِلِينَ.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "Oh Nuh, surely he is not of your family. Verily his work is unrighteous. Because his work is unrighteous, he is not part of your family anymore. He is your family if he is a righteous Muslim." Nuh understood and he said,
قَالَ رَبِّ إِنِّي أَعُوذُ بِكَ أَنْ أَسْأَلَكَ مَا لَيْسَ لِي بِهِ عِلْمٍ.
Oh my Lord, I seek refuge with you from asking you that of which I have no knowledge. And then he made a dua, وَإِلَّا تَغْفِرْ لِي وَتَرْحَمْنِي أَكُمْ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. And unless you forgive me and have mercy on me, I would indeed be one of the losers. The story of Nuh has been mentioned in many surah of Quran. But the longest version
is in Surah Hud.
It starts with ayah 25 and goes up till ayah 49. After this long version of story of Nuh that is revealed to Rasulullah ﷺ from ayah 25 till 48, Ayah 49 is telling Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam,
تِلْكَ مِنْ أَنْبَاءِ الْغَيْبِ نُوحِيهَا إِلَيْكَ مَا كُنْتَ تَعْلَمُهَا أَنْتَ وَلَا قَوْمُكَ مِنْ قَبْلِ هَذَا.
This is of the news of the unseen, which we reveal unto you. Neither you nor your people knew them before this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam after this long story. This is the closure, this is the conclusion of the story of Nuh. O Muhammad, this is the true news of Nuh that is revealed to you. Neither you nor your people knew it before. So what's the lesson? All of this I'm leading to the next word. What is the lesson? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, فَصْبِرْ. Be patient. All of this story of Nuh, from ayah 25 to 48, is leading to this ibrah, to this meaning. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is closing the story of Nuh, telling Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, look at the story of Nuh. 950 years of patience, of making da'wah to his people. He never gave up. He persisted. And he made da'wah to them in the night and the day. He made da'wah to them publicly and privately. He made da'wah to them and he was alone. He made da'wah to them and they were not listening to him. What is the lesson to learn? فَاصْبِرْ. Be patient. إِنَّ الْعَاقِبَةَ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. The end result. The winners in the end are going to be who? The ones who have taqwa. This is the lesson. فَاصْبِرْ. إِنَّ الْعَاقِبَةَ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. Be patient and remember that in the end, the ones who will win are the believers. Nuh did win, but he won after 950 years. And he couldn't have won if he didn't have patience. So the road is long. The road is long. And it needs a lot of energy. And that energy is sabr. If you don't have it, you're going to fall in the middle of the way. You're not going to be able to complete it. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the patience that we need. Allahumma ja'alna min as-sabirin. Have the story of Sayyidina Hud. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent Hud to Ad, the people of Ad. We wouldn't have known where Ad lived if it wasn't mentioned in Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the people of Ad lived in Al-Ahqaf. And that is mentioned in Surah Al-Ahqaf. Al-Ahqaf means sand dunes. So it's a desert area right now. It wasn't that case before. And this is in Yemen. And they lived in the area of Hadramaut. The people of Ad, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described them in Quran. The people of Ad used to worship idols. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described these people, and their description is amazing. What Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them is amazing. As individuals, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
وَزَادَكُمْ فِي الْخَلْقِ بَسْطَةً.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has increased you amply in stature. So they were huge, tall, and very strong and well-built, powerful. As individuals, very strong. And as a society and a nation and a civilization, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told them or described them in Quran, and these are ayat in Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning what their Nabi Hud was telling them.
وَاتَّقُوا الَّذِي أَمَدَّكُمْ بِمَا تَعْلَمُونَ.
And keep your duty to him. Fear him who has aided you with all things that you know.
أَمَدَّكُمْ بِأَنْعَامٍ وَبَنِينَ.
أَمَدَّكُمْ بِأَنْعَامٍ. He has provided you with cattle. In modern terms, we refer to that as livestock, animal resources. So they were wealthy in terms of livestock. They had abundance of livestock. وَبَنِينَ. And children. And that is what we call in modern terms, manpower.
وَجَنَّاتٍ وَعُيُونَ.
وَجَنَّاتِ. Gardens. And that is what we call in modern terms, agriculture. وَعُيُونَ. And that is water resources. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them livestock and has given them manpower and has given them agriculture and has provided them with an ample supply, good supply of water. That is as a society. And then they as individuals, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them a powerful structure. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said about them,
أَتَبْنُونَ بِكُلِّ رِيعٍ آيَةً تَعْبَثُونَ وَتَتَّخِذُونَ مَصَانِعَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَخْلُدُونَ وَإِذَا بَطَشْتُمْ بَطَشْتُمْ جَبَّارِينَ فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَأَطِيعُونَ.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in these ayat, they became so luxurious and so wealthy that they were spending their money in a wasteful way, israf. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَتَبْنُونَ بِكُلِّ رِيعٍ آيَةً تَعْبَثُونَ. The people of Ad had so much additional wealth, they started to fall into the trap that rich nations fall into, and that is using your money for pride and arrogance. After you satisfy your basic needs, food and drink and shelter, and you have additional money, if there is no iman to spend it the right way, then it will be spent in evil. The people of Ad had this additional wealth, so they started building monuments over mountains. They would build on top of these mountains monuments that they will not use for living. They don't need them. They're just building them for pride, to show off. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, تَعْبَثُونَ. Do you build high palaces on every high place while you do not live in them? Wastefully. Abath means when you waste something. So they had so much wealth, so much disposable money, that they started building these monuments on top of mountains. وَتَتَّخِذُونَ مَصَانِعَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَخْلُدُونَ These buildings on top of mountains, they don't use them for living. But the dwellings that they built from themselves, they used to build it in a way as if they're going to live forever. So strong and powerful. وَتَتَّخِذُونَ مَصَانِعَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَخْلُدُونَ And do you get yourselves palaces as if you will live forever? The way they would build their palaces shows that they used to think that they're going to live forever. They used to build it so strong and well constructed, very strong structure, as if they are going to live on the face of the earth forever. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He destroyed them, He destroyed them and He didn't leave anything that they left. Anything that they built. It was all destroyed. وَإِذَا بَطَشْتُمْ بَطَشْتُمْ جَبَّارِينَ And when you seize like tyrants. They were powerful. Even though this nation was wealthy, some nations when they become wealthy, they become weak. But the people of Ad, they were keeping their strength. Even though they were very wealthy and luxurious, they were still very powerful. And then when they would attack any neighbors, they would completely destroy them. Tyrants. بَطَشْ وَإِذَا بَطَشْتُمْ بَطَشْتُمْ جَبَّارِينَ So there's a difference between the people of Ad and Thamud. Ad were powerful tyrants. All of these things combined, when you put them together, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ad, إِرَمَ ذَاتِ الْعِمَادِ الَّتِي لَمْ يُخْلَقْ مِثْلُهَا فِي الْبِلَادِ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ad, إِرَمْ ذَاتِ الْعِمَادِ The land of pillars, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created no land similar to it. This society and these people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not create anyone similar to them. When He put all these things together, all of these different resources that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them, all of these blessings together, they were able to build a civilization, a nation, and society that was unsurpassed by anyone in their time. The like of which were not created in the land. No one was like them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent to them Hud.
وَإِلَىٰ عَادٍ أَخَاهُمْ هُودًا
And to Ad, their brother Hud. He was called their brother because he's from them. What was his message? The same message of Nuh.
قَالَ يَا قَوْمِ اعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ مَا لَكُمْ مِنْ إِلَٰهٍ غَيْرُهُ إِنْ أَنْتُمْ إِلَّا مُفْتَرُونَ
O my people, worship Allah. You have no other God but Him. Certainly you do nothing but invent lies. These gods who you are worshipping are lies. See, the anbiya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are straightforward because that is part of the amanat al-tabligh. The trust that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them and the responsibility of conveying the truth. And that is why they say, إِنِّي لَكُمْ رَسُولٌ أَمِينٌ He said, I am a trustworthy. وَأَنَا لَكُمْ نَاصِحٌ أَمِينٌ And he said, and I came to you to advise you with honesty. So they are straightforward. He told them, you are lying. And he told them,
وَيَا قَوْمِ اسْتَغْفِرُوا رَبَّكُمْ ثُمَّ تُوبُوا إِلَيْهِ
O my people, seek refuge, seek forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and then repent to Him. And we just talked last night about Nuh. He told his people the same thing. He told them, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive you. And we talked about the things that they will be given if they ask Allah for forgiveness. And here Hud is also telling them additional things. He said,
وَيَا قَوْمِ اسْتَغْفِرُوا رَبَّكُمْ ثُمَّ تُوبُوا إِلَيْهِ يُرْسِلِ السَّمَاءَ عَلَيْكُمْ مِدْرَارًا
إلى
قوتكم ولا تتولوا مجرمين.
O my people, ask forgiveness of your Lord and then repent to him. He will send you from the sky abundant rain and add strength to your strength. So with istighfar, you would become more powerful than you are now. They were already powerful and strong. If they ask Allah for forgiveness, Allah will give them more power and strength. This tells us something. It's telling us that we're not making enough istighfar to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we were making istighfar as we should, our situation would not be the way it is today. What was their response? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
قَالُوا يَا هُودُ مَا جِئْتَنَا بِبَيِّنَةٍ وَمَا نَحْنُ بِتَارِكِي آلِهَتِنَا عَنْ قَوْلِكَ وَمَا نَحْنُ لَكَ بِمُؤْمِنِينَ.
They said, O Hud, no evidence have you brought us, and we shall not leave our gods for your mere saying, and we are not believers in you. They rejected. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
كذبت عاد المرسلين.
عاد denied the messengers. How many messengers did they receive? One. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, كذبت عاد المرسلين. The people of عاد have disbelieved in the messengers, plural, not one. But they only received one messenger. How come it's made plural? If you refuse one messenger, it is as if you refuse them all. Because all of the messengers came with the same message. So if you refuse the message of Hud, it is as if you refuse the message of everyone. If you refuse the message of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it would not suffice you to believe in Isa or Musa or any other Nabi. If you disbelieve in one Nabi, in one Rasul, it is as if you have disbelieved in all of them. So even, let's assume even that today there's somebody who believes in Isa and Musa and believes in Allah only and doesn't believe in any other God. But he does not believe in Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is not Islam. You have to believe in all of the anbiya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from Adam until Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So they disbelieved in Hud only. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, كَذَّبَتْ عَادٌ الْمُرْسَلِينَ. They disbelieved in all of the messengers. And they started accusing him, and that will happen to every Nabi. They accused him of insanity. They said,
إِنَّ قُولُ إِلَّا اَعْتَرَاكَ بَعْضُ آلِهَتِنَا بِسُوءٍ.
All that we say is that some of your, our gods have seized you with madness. They said, our gods have caused you insanity. You're mad. And they accused him of safaha. And they accused him of lying.
قَالَ الْمَلَأُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا مِنْ قَوْمِهِ إِنَّا لَنَرَاكَ فِي سَفَاهَةٍ لَنَظُنُّكَ مِنَ الْكَاذِبِينَ.
The leaders of those who disbelieved among his people said, verily we see you in foolishness, and verily we think you are one of the liars. And notice who are the ones who are saying this? Al-Mala, the leaders.
وقال الملأ من قومه الذين كفروا وكذبوا بلقاء الآخرة وأترفناهم في الحياة الدنيا ما هذا إلا بشر مثلكم يأكل مما تأكلون منه ويشرب مما تشربون.
And the chiefs of his people who disbelieved and denied the meeting in the hereafter, so they disbelieve in Akhirah, and to whom we had given the luxuries and comforts of this life. Luxuries and comforts did not do them any good, did not mean that they were intelligent, did not mean that they were better. They had luxuries, atrafnahum, they had luxuries, nevertheless, their minds were not sufficient enough to lead them to the truth. So wealth and money and luxury does not mean anything in the standard of Iman. You could have all the wealth in the world and refuse the truth, and you could have nothing, nevertheless you would be intelligent enough to know that this is al-haq. They had a lot. وَأَتْرَفْنَاهُمْ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. We had given them luxuries. But they said, he is no more than a human being like you. He eats of that which you eat and drinks of what you drink. They said, how can we follow a man who eats and drinks like us?
وَلَئِنْ أَطَعْتُمْ بَشَرًا مِثْلَكُمْ إِنَّكُمْ إِذًا لَخَاسِرُونَ.
If you were to obey a human being like yourselves, then verily you indeed would be losers.
أَيَعِدُكُمْ أَنَّكُمْ إِذَا مِتْتُمْ وَكُنْتُمْ تُرَابًا وَعِظَامًا أَنَّكُمْ مُخْرَجُونَ.
Does he promise you that when you have died and have become dust and bones, you shall come out alive? They refuse to believe in the resurrection. Materialistic thinking.
هيهات هيهات لما توعدون.
Far, very far is that which you are promised.
إن هي إلا حياتنا الدنيا نموت ونحيا وما نحن بمبعوثين.
There is nothing but our life of this world. We die and we live, and we are not going to be resurrected.
إن هو إلا رجل افترى على الله كذبا وما نحن له بمؤمنين.
He is only a man who has invented a lie against Allah, but we are not going to believe in him. Now they are accusing Hud of lying against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are claiming that they are the true believers in Allah, and he is lying against Allah. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Muhammad wa alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam.
For further information, please contact Al-Bashir Publications and Translations at 1-877-745-3330 or 303-574-0095. Our fax number is 303-373-0943, or visit our website at www.albashir.com. That's www.al-bashier.com. You can also write to our address at 10515 East 40th Avenue, Suite 108, Denver, Colorado, 80239-3264. All rights reserved for Al-Bashir Company for publications and translations. No part of this series may be reproduced in any form without written permission from the publisher. Unlawful reproductions may prevent Muslim businesses from further producing quality programs. Your consideration is greatly appreciated. Jazakumullahu khairan. Please proceed to the next CD.